The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So first of all, I have to say, our reward for getting up this morning was the beautiful sunrise. The colors were just gorgeous. But my friends, Curate Camp is over. Yay! My fellow curates and the priests new to the Diocese of Texas enjoyed our final time together at Camp Allen this past Thursday and Friday. And I'm sure you will not be surprised to hear that we enjoyed a bit of celebrating with adult beverages on Thursday evening after dinner. But during that time, we shared memories of the good, the not so good, and all the changes we have been through over the last 2 years since we started meeting together. The diocese brought us together to learn and share, to get to know each other, to support each other through our transition out of seminary and into the life of the church. And then, when our time is over, off we go to the future God and the diocese has in store for us. And that's exactly what's happening. We came together in June of 2016, all recent seminary graduates, a few of us freshly ordained deacons. And last Friday, we left as priests with new jobs as associates, vicars, and a couple of new rectors. Though sad we weren't going to see each other next month, we're all ready to move on. Though we had one last presentation on Friday morning and discussion, with a panel of three priests, all in different positions of ministry around the diocese, gathered to share with us their experience and take on anxiety and the future of the church. We'd been presented with how to manage anxiety and stress, and have had presentations on the future of the church before, but just not together. This could be interesting. So I did what I generally do when each of the presentations begin. I open up my laptop, open a new Word document, and I'm ready to go. There are usually a few points of interest or maybe a nice quote that I can type out to consider and reflect on later. And I'll admit, more than once, I have answered email or worked on a sermon or looked up something on the internet. But that stays right here, right? This presentation was pretty interesting, however, and I never strayed from the page. It became apparent to me from our speakers that there is anxiety in working toward the future of our church. And some of that anxiety lies in the question, who are we? After the presentation was over, I opened up my Curate Camp folder to move this document over with the rest, and I decided to do just kind of a quick scan of the titles of all my documents from the past 2 years. And starting at the top of the list, the first date of our meetings together, I see a partial title. I'm Leisha Brannon, comma, curate, dot, dot, dot. I opened it. There is nearly an entire page of lines that I typed, all the same. I'm Leisha Brannon, curate at Calvary Episcopal Church in Richmond. Over and over and over again. Now, I don't remember typing this, or even why I would. I do, however, introduce myself this way, over and over again. Probably hundreds of times by now. It's become part of who I am. A new identity added to the many I've taken on over the years of life. And identity is an interesting aspect of life, isn't it? Some identities we are born into, some we take on by choice, and some are thrust upon us by life events we have no control over. In my younger life, a pop culture term, finding yourself, was very, very popular. Go out, find yourself, and then you'll know what you are meant to do, your true identity. But it turns out that the research on identity and how we form it shows just the opposite. We learn of ourselves and form our identities best when we are in community. Our identity is conferred to us through community. And I think that is what our resurrection narrative from Luke is all about. So let's jump in. Leading up to our selected verses from the Gospel of Luke, we find the disciples and followers of Jesus huddled together in shock and mourning after the gruesome, shameful death of Jesus. Knowing the power and force of the Roman authorities, they are hiding in fear that they too may be in danger of the same fate. They are in the midst of confusion and doubts about themselves, how they scattered so quickly when Jesus was arrested. And to make matters worse, they have been told Jesus' tomb is empty, his body missing. There's no doubt there is anxiety among them. And they're wondering, what's next? What do we do now? And who are we? Who are we without Jesus? Well, Cleopas and another follower have rushed in with excitement to tell them that Jesus is alive. They claim they walked and talked with him the 12 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, though they did not recognize him until they shared the dinner bread with him. And according to Cleopas, as soon as they realized who he was, he disappeared. And they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell Peter and the others. As Cleopas is finishing this unbelievable story, and before they even have time to process what they have heard, Jesus appears out of nowhere, standing right in front of them. He is alive. Well, maybe. The possibility of Jesus risen from the dead has just been told, so it's no wonder they are terrified, and perhaps a bit justified in thinking that he is a ghost. Then Jesus speaks to them. He offers his peace to calm their fears and doubts. He convinces them he is really alive by showing them the wounds of his crucifixion, inviting them to touch him and see for themselves. And whether he's hungry or not, Jesus asks for something to eat. and eats the piece of broiled fish given to him. The disciples spent 3 years of their lives following him, watching him, listening to him, and living with him. Many times not understanding him, but always loving him. So it's not hard for us to imagine the disciples with their eyes big as saucers and their mouths wide open as they look at Jesus and hear his voice, or how they stretched out their arms, reaching out to touch his wounded hands and feel the warmth of his skin. The intensity of their stares as Jesus bit into, chewed, and swallowed that piece of fish. Or how they moved from their anxiety and despair to joy while still in belief of what is happening right in front of them. Jesus is risen from the dead, alive and with them. Amazing and impossible all at the same time. And Jesus wastes no time conferring new identities on the disciples right then and there. This community he formed has everything they need to change the world. The entirety of scriptures leading up to this moment, and firsthand eyewitnesses to the unbelievable yet true good news in this moment. Jesus took upon himself the evil of the world, and God conquered it. Jesus Christ is risen today from death to life. These first witnesses, men and women, are transformed from being witnesses of Jesus to witnessing to the fullness of who Jesus is for the salvation of the world. They know who they are in this and what they are to do because he is alive. But it isn't easy. The good news isn't accepted by everyone. The disciples don't always agree between themselves who is to be included, or what nations they should go to, or how they go about forming communities. And so it goes for us. And we know there is good work going on all around us toward the future of the church. And we know that it's up to us to join in. But let's not miss the truth we have today. We have a choice. And Jesus will confer the same identity to this community of disciples right here and now, as he did for the ancient church, and will continue to do in the future as well. We are given a promise from God, a promise given to the disciples and to us, that we share in his body through death, resurrection, and new life for eternity. Of all the identities we choose to wear, let's keep disciple of Jesus Christ at the top of our list. I'm Leisha Brannon, disciple of Jesus Christ and curate at Calvary Church in Richmond. Nice to meet you. Amen.